The Word of God again from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. Now on that first day of the week, verse 19, and on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This is God's Word. So, how are you doing? How are you doing? You know, we ask that question of each other all the time. I've probably asked that question 10 or 20 times this morning already. I know a number of people ask me, "How are you doing?" It's a great conversation starter, and it's really not a bad question. The only problem is the way we usually answer that question. You know, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm good. How about you?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good." And maybe sometimes that's true. But more often than not, I suspect that is less than a candid answer. How often do we say, "Oh, I'm good. I'm fine," when really we're not so good, maybe not so fine? And maybe it's just that we don't want to burden other people with our problems, and I don't want to be a gloomy Gus and a Debbie Downer all the time, or people won't even want to talk with me anymore. But more often than not, I think the truth is that we just don't want other people to know everything about us. Because what would they think if they knew the full truth? What if they knew my failures and the sins that I'm struggling with, and that my family isn't perfect? What if they knew that the person that they see on Sunday morning in the narthex, who's all smiles and seemingly has it all together, really isn't all together like you might think? Maybe is depressed or grieving or feeling guilty and has made some messes in my life and out of some of my relationships. What if they knew that all I really want to do is to lock myself up in my room like those disciples did, keep the door shut and try to lock out my problems, or at least maybe forget about my troubles for a little while, and until hopefully they just blow over, and maybe then I really will be fine, maybe someday? Well, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel, Matthew, James, Jude, and Simon were not doing very well. In fact, they were a mess. And the images of what had just happened were still fresh in their minds. The cross, the agony of their dying master, the blood, the burial. And when they weren't thinking about that, then all of the shouldas, the wouldas, and the couldas were cropping up in their minds and weighing on their hearts. Peter, well, he was stinging over his denials. And they all remembered their cowardice, how they had all run away from Jesus in his moment of need. And maybe James and John were remembering how at one time they had asked Jesus if they could sit at his right and at his left in his kingdom. Oh, yeah. Look at them now. They don't even deserve to be the lowest servants in the kingdom of God. These disciples are a mess. And then Jesus shows up, alive, risen. And if you think an Easter lily is white, I'll bet in that moment the faces of those disciples were even whiter when Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you." And he shows them the wounds in his hands and his feet and his pierced side. Oh, it's Jesus, no doubt about that. But he's not just showing his wounds. He's interpreting the meaning of his wounds for them. There's a connection between those wounds and the peace that he is giving to them. It is because of His wounds, because of His suffering and death, that now there is peace with God. All of those just deserts that they deserve, He had taken upon Himself at the cross. And now what they don't deserve, He gives them. Peace be with you. God has forgiven. And that's when St. John tells us, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And not before then. Before He had displayed His wounds, before He had given them the gift of peace and of forgiveness, there was no peace among these disciples. It was not the sight of the risen Lord that made them glad. His appearance initially would have only accentuated their fear and their embarrassment and their doubts and their shame and their guilt. Oh, there was a lot of shame and guilt and their terror. His holy presence would only make their sins and their failures stand out all the more. But then, the wounds and the interpretation of those wounds. Peace be with you. Then they were glad. They were absolved. Jesus, who had died for them, was not mad at them at all. Matter of fact, He's treating them like friends. And He's not holding anything against them. Almost as if those failures of theirs had never happened. Almost as if they'd just been wiped away. Which, of course, they had been. This is exactly what the prophet Jeremiah had said for so long. I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sins no more. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Glad, says John. Got to thinking about that word. Seems to me like a huge understatement. More like overjoyed and exuberant and elated, liberated from the prison of their guilt and of their sins, they left that locked room to share their joy with Thomas, who for some reason was not there. And they left that locked room to share their joy with the whole world, even at great cost to themselves. We heard in the book of Acts today some of that cost. The disciples are no longer afraid of the Jews, are they? It's just boldness and defiance. And they said, we must obey God rather than men. And they left the presence of the council rejoicing that God counted them worthy to suffer dishonor for that name. The name of Jesus, who does not condemn but forgives. The name of God, who had unlocked their prison of sin and shame and had absolved them and forgets. The name of Jesus and of God who had died for them. So I ask you again, how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? Is there something you're hiding? Something you're ashamed of? Something that maybe you're afraid of? Oh, no, Pastor. No, really, I'm fine. It's all good. Couldn't be better. And you know, that's exactly why we do not start the divine service, the communion service, by asking the congregation, how you doing? Because all of you would respond, oh, just fine. Doing fine. But your Savior knows how you're really doing. Even better than you do. Sometimes I think we work so hard at trying to fool others that we end up fooling only ourselves. And so we do not start the communion service by asking, how you doing? We start the communion service just like that first Easter evening, huddled together, a little group of people who are locked up in sin and shame, afraid to let anyone know how it's really going, how badly we've really messed up, that we really don't have it all together. And then Jesus shows up among us. And He knows. Oh, He knows. And so we confess. That's how we start. We confess it. We lay it out there before Him, and then we hear His absolution. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then peace be with you. Then we are glad. The words, I repent and I forgive you, are some of the hardest words to say and to hear, but they are also the words that are most powerful to liberate us. And then after that, we come out from behind our locked doors, and we leave these doors to live a new life and to share our joy with the Thomases, who for some reason aren't here. And we go out these doors to share our joy with our families and our friends and with the whole world. And yes, you may suffer and pay a cost for sharing your joy, just as those disciples did in the book of Acts when they were locked up in prison for their preaching. The world would rather hear you tell them how good they are, how worthy they are of heaven, how able they are to pick themselves up and do better and to please God, rather than to hear about their need to confess and God's eagerness to forgive. The cross has always been, and it will always be, a stumbling block to people. But just as Jesus gave His disciples what they needed the most, the church's mission is not to ask people, how you doing? And then to accept whatever answer we get at face value. No, the church's mission is to give people what they need the most. Grace that forgives and peace that reconciles. That is the pure spiritual milk that we all need to grow up to salvation. For what is salvation? But freedom and peace, rescue from sin and from the death that Christ won for us at the cross. That peace be with you. And depart in that peace, reconciled and redeemed. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.